Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
1 hour in the books. Lickety split. We shift gears here. Talk about the Broncos for the first time today.
The Broncos!
You know, it's actually been not a busy week, but kind of. If you remember the way the week started, and it feels like 2 weeks ago now, but Monday we were coming in here listening to George Payton, Sean Payton, Greg Penner,
yeah,
all speak from the owners' meetings in Orlando. And we got the update on new uniforms are for sure coming. We may find out about that on Monday, by the way.
I'm excited. You know, people go out there and kind of sketch together what the uniforms are going to look like.
I know.
There's a couple uniforms I've seen out there. I'm like, oh, please don't be like this. Please.
Is there something that you saw that that like stuck out? Like, I definitely don't want that.
Yeah, there was one where it was just like literally like the darker orange. You know, it was the navy blue, but it was like all over the place. It just like seemed like it was too much. Way too much.
Just like kind of like too busy.
Exactly. But when you really look at it, it's like NFL wouldn't approve of that. Like, NFL would be like, no, that's too much.
Yeah, yeah, because Nike's got to be on board too, right?
Yeah, Nike and the NFL.
Sure. I've seen some that are like have the mountain range on the shoulders. And Damani Leach said there could be a tip of the cap to the geography. So people immediately think mountains. Could we see some sort of 5280 somewhere? You know, you would say, no, probably not in the NFL, but you see the Nuggets. I mean,
you see it.
5280 is everywhere. So don't know what we're in store for. Maybe we can ask Mike Kliss about it here when we talk to him in about 5 minutes or so.
Maybe we're going to get the D-back, right? Maybe we do get the old school D-back.
I don't think so.
No?
No, because Damani said we're not changing the color scheme, which, why would you? But he said we're not changing the logo. So it's going to be like fringe stuff. It's gonna be fringe stuff.
Watch it be like one little minor thing where the Nike sign's on the other side.
here's my prediction. If they come out on Monday,
yeah.
Here's my prediction. People will be mad online, no matter what comes out.
Hands down.
People will be mad
hands
online.
Damn. People are waiting just to be mad.
Yes. Yes. Give them a reason. Okay. The Broncos are having a one-on-one meeting, it turns out, and we found this out from Kliss for sure this morning. They are going to have an individual meeting, workout. Not exactly sure what it's going to look like. We'll ask Mike about it in a minute. But they are going to have an individual meeting with Michael Penix Jr. I believe it's going to be sometime next week. We know they've already met with Michael Penix Jr. at the Combine. And I said going to the last break, does it feel like that Michael Penix Jr. has a little momentum, and I'll even say regaining momentum that he lost after the national championship game and because of his pro day yesterday. Now, you can laugh at it, but Michael Penix Jr. was flying around yesterday at his pro day.
I mean, why would people laugh at it, Zach? I mean, everybody's saying how J.J. McCarthy had this amazing pro day. Drake May, at the beginning of his pro day, he had some duck passes where he kind
of... I saw one of the ones he threw into the crowd, like one of your tee shots.
Oh, man, I like it. I like it, Zach, although mine stays straight.
Yeah. We keep hearing about your golf game. I'm like, what is it going to look like when we actually get out there?
They call me Tiger Hoods.
Yeah.
All right?
Tiger Hoods, yes.
But, yeah, I think that Michael Penix Jr. is going to garner more attention. All right, his draft stock is going to rise yet again because, Zach, I'm still sitting here wondering, why did it dip so low? The only thing you can knock on the man was his injuries.
Yeah.
Well, he went to every evaluation, unlike Caleb Williams, checked out really well on every single evaluation, and he's going to have to do more when he goes on visits. All right, that's the only thing that people had a knock on him. I think people fell in love with the name J.J. McCarthy so much that they were willing to just sell their whole entire house, not understanding and knowing what someone like Michael Penix Jr. still brings to the table.
Well, he was one of my favorite quarterbacks. No, excuse me. He was my favorite quarterback to watch this college football season.
Shame on you. You turned your back on him.
I did. Because of the two ACLs
Oh.
and shoulder injuries. He's
Now he has bionic ACL and bionic shoulders.
You know, you want to know what, man? Look, good for Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
For going to the combine, passing all his physicals, no, like, degenerative knees or anything like that. And you see him running around yesterday, and this is why I said, hey, some people may laugh, because you're watching a guy. You know how many yards Michael Penix Jr. ran for this year?
Probably.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah,
so
probably 100 yards.
Eight.
Mm. Oh.
Eight.
Just eight?
Eight.
You got to love that. That's what Sean wants.
Hey, think about what you just said.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to talk about this, and I want to talk with Mike Kliss about it here in a couple minutes, is if you want someone who plays within structure, whose best mobility is actually just being mobile in the pocket, moving to create new passing lanes, not moving to run and take off, Michael Penix Jr. was so good at that this past year. But when you see the actual athleticism, and again, I'll say someone may laugh because it's like, well, he doesn't play that way. But it is kind of nice to see when the guy goes out there and runs a sub 4.6 in the 40, and then he had a 36.5 inch vertical jump.
With those knees that everybody's, you know, scared of.
Yeah, no. And this is why it's answering some questions about his physical limitations for someone like me, who I would not take this guy in the first round because of the injury history. I'm watching the guy have a broad jump of 10 feet 5 inches and a vert of almost 37 inches. Just so we're all on the same page, those numbers would have been number one and number one had he tested at the NFL Combine for amongst quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So it's like he's actually one of the best athletes at the quarterback position coming out of this year's draft.
And wouldn't it be a shame, all right, if we go and draft someone like J.J. McCarthy, all right, Drake May, and Michael Penix Jr., who everybody pushed down in the second round, maybe even the third, ends up being like a Patrick Mahomes. I'd be sitting here mad at all you guys. I'm going to be mad at all you guys, for real, because Michael Penix Jr. is my guy.
He has been your guy.
Yeah. He was your guy.
He was my guy during the season.
And you turned your back on him.
And then the medicals scare me, but am I coming around?
Oh, no, you're not jumping on this
shit.
Oh,
I'm not welcome back.
You got a floaty.
Oh!
You got a floaty now. You and J.J. McCarthy.
You're now gatekeeping the fifth best quarterback in this class.
Unthaw him out there in the seat.
Well, I like Michael Penix Jr. The injury history does scare me.
Yeah.
But when I see him go out there and fly around like this and see the natural ability, again, I know guys, I heard Stink this morning totally poo-pooing it. Like, hey, the next time that you run a play where your quarterback needs to, you know, jump 10 feet 5 inches or jump in the air 37 inches, like, you know, let me know.
And that's for everybody.
I get that stuff.
For Stink, it's like it's for everybody. Because if Stink likes a quarterback, this quarterback still has to go out there and test too. And if I ever hear Stink go on here and try to say how this kid's fast and his 40's fast, we're going to have some problems.
Well, I'll say this about Stink, and he has said this before. The reason that Stink got a shot is because of his physical testing.
Yeah.
Had he not had the physical testing, that's what opened doors for Stink, because Stink was, despite being like a guard, quote unquote, he was a great athlete.
Yeah.
Mark Schlitz was a great athlete. Was Mike Kliss a great athlete back in the day? I don't know, but he's on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline with us. Mike, what do you make of the individual quality time that the Broncos will spend with Michael Penix Jr.? Will they put him through a workout like they did J.J. McCarthy? And after yesterday, does it feel like there's a little bit of momentum building with Michael Penix Jr. Once again?
Yeah, he's coming in next week for a visit. I think it's next week. And they don't work him out during those things. They spend a large part of the day with him. They'll spend at least 4 hours, maybe longer. You know, they'll give him lunch. He'll stay in a hotel here overnight. He'll meet with all the coaches. He'll go on the board. You know, he'll spend time with Sean Payton, spend time with George Payton. So that's what a top 30 visit is. They bring him into headquarters. They don't work him out in that. They may give him a physical. I'm not sure if they do physicals on those visits or not. But yes, he has momentum. I heard you guys talking. You know, the 4.5, maybe that won't matter. The vertical jump, the 37-inch vertical jump. You know, maybe that doesn't apply in football. But the thing about him that should be number one anyway is that I did a little work on all these quarterbacks today. He had something like 1,700 pass attempts in his 6 years.
Yep.
There's one red flag. Six years in college, you know, because of all the injuries, the two ACLs and that kind of thing. But he only took 32 sacks. You know, that's 6 years. There's 1 year he didn't play play much. So basically 5 years, he took 32 sacks. So not even seven a season. He gets rid of the ball quick, in other words. And really, of all these quarterbacks, all of them, he's the guy that you can make a case. I'm not sure Sean Payton believes this, but you can make a case that he's the best fit for Sean Payton because he gets rid of the ball now. I mean, he's got that funky, quick push, three quarters release, and but he processes quickly, and he finds open receivers quickly, and so that's why I think Michael Penix should be way up on the Broncos quarterback board. I don't know how high, but the fact that he gets rid of the ball and he processes quickly, and he's got the arm, he should be way up there. Now, the question would be a guy like him. Generally, what teams worry about is, yeah, he could flash for a couple of years, but you question whether he's going to be there in 4 or 5 years because of that medical. And that's the concern with Michael Penix.
Mike, and that's my thing, and I just want to jump back in here really quickly, is because when I was watching him play for Washington, and I watched a lot of Washington football this year, I loved what I saw for all the reasons that you just described. But you brought up the wrinkle that still bothers me with taking him in the first round. He did only take 32 sacks for a career, and he was still that hurt. Isn't that a bit alarming that he couldn't stay healthy at Indiana, and now he's going to be playing in the AFC West? It's hard for me to reconcile those two things.
Yeah, there was one game when he was at Indiana where he took three sacks against Western Kentucky. And so, you know, that was a bunch of years ago. You know, he had 4 years at Indiana and then two at Washington. COVID and medical red shirts and everything else gave him those extra years. That's why he's in the that's one reason why he's in the middle clump. You know, he's ranked anywhere from fourth to sixth, depending on who you talk to in this draft. And the medical and the age, really, the 6 years is why he's, you know, possibly sixth. His ability to throw the ball and process is why he could be possibly fourth, if not even somewhere in the top three, you know, some people. What I've heard is the Raiders really like him. The Raiders are picking 13th. So it will be interesting to see if Sean Payton falls in love with this guy. You know, right now, you know, I'm kind of with everybody else. I think it's J.J. McCarthy. I think it's Drake May if he falls. Bo Nix is kind of there, a five-year starter, 24 years old. And then we'll see if they think Brock Bowers. You know, they go Spencer Rattler in the second round and go trade into the second round or third round for Spencer Rattler or one of those other quarterbacks and take Bowers in the first.
Well, Mike, you and Zach are on my dookie list because of Michael Penix Jr. I like Michael Penix Jr., and you guys are forgetting one thing. The Denver Broncos offensive line is going to be top 10 this year going into the season. So that's going to help Michael Penix Jr. stay healthier. Now, this is my question to you, J.J. McCarthy. All right, Mike, J.J. McCarthy's getting all the attention. All right, it seems like Sean has tipped his hand. Do you think this is the case, or is it a trap?
Well, I think it might have been the case 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure it's the case now. I mean, it was really early in the process when that report came out. And, you know, I think he's got way more information now, way more film. That report came out before the combine, when he met all those guys. And I think there's good reason to like J.J. McCarthy. He ran a very structured system offense, and I think Sean Payton and NFL teams like quarterbacks that can run a structured, you know, system offense. It's a pro-style offense, or, you know, with the read option that he ran with Harbaugh in Michigan. You know, the one thing that concerns you a little bit about J.J. McCarthy and correct me if I'm wrong, is he seems to be a fastball thrower. There's not a whole lot of touch over the linebacker type throws, and so you got to watch that a little bit with him. I think it's interesting. You know, he has rose up the Mocksters draft boards. The Mocksters, I do caution, just because all the intangibles he has. And yes, a proven winner. But, you know, he didn't – I know he was 27-1 the last 2 years. You know, there weren't too many games where J.J. had to put the team on the back and, you know, and win the game.
No.
You didn't see that from him.
No.
And
but
NFL
I also don't
– quarterbacks and guy – and real quick, NFL quarterbacks have to do that. The elite ones do.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I also don't want to hold that against them either for being on a great football team. But you're right. And that goes that's part of the evaluation. Let me ask you this, Mike, and then we'll let you go. A lot has been discussed about Pat Surtain's name being involved as a chip to trade up in the draft. He is the Broncos' best player, therefore he has the most value, and he's on a rookie contract. Do you have a sense if the Broncos have considered this?
Well, I mean, in the big picture realm that they consider everything, yes, but seriously, I would say no. One thing to keep in mind on Pat Surtain is he now has less trade value than he had a year ago because that he's got that fifth-year option now, and the Broncos are going to pick that up if he isn't traded in this draft, and I don't think he will be. But they're going to pick up that $19.8 million fifth-year option. And so once these guys start making money, you know, they drop around. I mean, Keenan Allen went for a fourth-round pick, you know, because of $23 million. And, you know, all these quarterbacks that got traded, Justin Fields, all those guys got traded for ridiculously low-round draft picks. In part because they're almost done with the rookie contracts, and so there. Once you're at the end of the rookie contract, you start making money, and you have less value on the trade market.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Of course, that's true. Mike, we appreciate your time as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
Happy Easter, guys. Hey, I just ordered a Major League Baseball package.
all right.
150 to watch all the games I want. You know, I'm a Cub fan, and I like the occasional train wreck. So that applies to the local nine.
There
you go.
So you did the Rockies.tv, the option where it's the whole league?
I did MLB extra innings, I guess.
Okay.
That's the whole league. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know, man. Good to know, Mike. Be well, man. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Easter.
See you guys.
All right, there he goes, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider. I'll tell you guys, I thought yesterday, and I thought this was real easy to follow, when they got the TV deal done at 12:30 for the Rockies the night before, or I guess technically the morning of their first game, that we were good. I went and flipped it on yesterday, and I have Comcast, Xfinity, okay? I go to flip it on. It was not available.
Really?
It said you needed a subscription.
That's interesting.
I also have Fubo, so I pulled it up and watched it, you know, was flipping back and forth on that. But it was not free and available to me. And maybe I'm missing something, but I banged in the exact channel that we had on our DenverSports.com article from Jake Shapiro. It was real cut and dry. It said that the Rockies game was on, but when I flipped it on, it said you need a subscription.
See, now,
I lied.
Yeah, like in our group chat with me, myself, Josh Dover, Brandon Stokely, Josh said he has Xfinity as well, and he had the game on channel 1262 on Xfinity. So
it said I needed some other tier, and yeah. I have like I pay for a tier of like extra sports where it's
right.
Like Pac-12 Network and this other stuff. For whatever reason, maybe I'm missing someone. Maybe someone on the RamosLaw.com text line can help me out. Again, I have access to the game, so it's not that big of a deal because I already have Fubo. But it's like, I don't know. I wonder how many people were looking forward to it last night and, you know, pumping their fists that the deal got done and it wasn't there for them. I don't know. But to our conversation with Mike, with Pat Surtain there at the end. Man, you can still, I refuse to believe that you can't get a first-round pick for Pat Surtain right now. And I know that it's not the same value as a year ago.
Yeah.
Could you have got two picks a year? I probably. But that guy plays a top-five premier position in football, corner.
Yeah.
And he is one of the three best in the sport. And it would take a contender who's close. And I just, if you wanted to make that move, I think you still get a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think, though, when you're looking across the league, and we did this with Jerry Jeudy, Zach, is we overvalued the players,
yeah,
right? Pat Surtain is a great player, but he's a cornerback on top of a team that you can have great corners but still lose games if you don't have the interior line, the linebackers to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Snead from the Kansas City Chiefs, they traded him. There wasn't a second round. I don't think it was a second round draft pick for Snead. I think it was a third, right? And Snead was one of the best corners from last year. Won a Super Bowl and everything, and they were able to get the jobs. The Chiefs traded Snead to the Tennessee Titans, and I don't want to say for a second round draft pick. I could be wrong. I got to go back and look.
So is he? But does Snead? Do we know Snead is under contract? Does Snead have a big money contract? Do we know that?
He just got one.
He just signed it.
He just signed it today.
4 years, $76 million.
Probably like 2-3 days ago.
Okay. Ow.
So I think that when you see things like that, it messes up chances with someone like Pat Surtain, because now you're like, look, one of the best corners in the league was Snead last year, and he's going for this. We're not giving up a first-round draft pick.
I want to circle back to this.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to this in a couple of minutes, because I'm going to gather some information here for when we do circle back for it. In the meantime, the Broncos' offseason schedule came into focus today, and we'll tell you what you need to know coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One!
All right, the Broncos offseason schedule came out today. If you want to put eyes on it yourself, you can head to denversports.com. Andrew Mason wrote about it. But here's basically what you need to know. So we know the NFL draft is coming up at the end of next month. Well, less than a month from right now. But April 15th will be phase one of OTAs. Now, Phil, last year, Sean Payton did not have these guys do anything on the football field. It was all weightlifting and conditioning for the first phase of OTAs. And then we have the next phase of OTAs happening in late May. Well, from May 21st through May 23rd, then May 28th through May 30th, and then finally the last installment, June 3rd through June 6th. And then right around the corner from there, it'll be mandatory minicamp June 11th through June 13th. Again, if you want to make your own notes of this, you can head to denversports.com and take a look at it. But what was this time of year, like the rollout of the offseason, like as a player?
So Zach, it's different for everybody because everybody's body is different. The way that they're thinking is different. So the way I used to prepare was different than how probably Christian McCaffrey would prepare, right? But for what Sean's doing, I like the way that Sean does it. It's not like, let's just get on the field and start going. That's how people get hurt. You're trying to eliminate that, which Sean did a great job of this year, of keeping his team healthy.
Yes.
That's because you let them have more time in the weight room, okay, less time on the field, kind of let them get acclimated to things, then hit the ground running when it's time, and then let them go on break. Get ready for the camp, right? Because it's a battle now. You're battling versus each other to see who's going to be a starter.
Right.
But you'll be healthier. You'll be fresher. So in that sense, Sean Payton's doing a great job. And I've heard this for multiple years from Mark Ingram saying that he's one of the best coaches when it comes to the offseason workouts.
Well, you want to know what's interesting? I saw this. Where did I see this? It was in Greg Penner's interview. And I forget who it was with. But Penner said that there were multiple veterans who were saying, why are we doing this? Why are we? And then he said, we moved on from some guys. And then I was like, wait, who were those veterans that were complaining about how hard they were working and how, especially at the start of training camp, it had to have been Randy Gregory, Frank Clark. But yeah, this is Sean's method. And if you look at year over year, not that only one person is to blame, but the Broncos went from like the most banged up team in football by number of games missed to one of the three least missed games due to injury Actually, I have it right here. The Broncos went from being one of the league's most injured teams in the previous five seasons to one of the healthiest last year. Sean Payton said, I think we are 31st or 32nd in games missed by injured players, and we finished second last year. So whatever they were doing, we'll see if it translates for a second straight year. And when the time comes to break down those offseason workouts, we will cover it here very closely.
One, two.
How do you feel? How do you feel about tomorrow afternoon? Your CU Buffalo women's basketball team taking on Caitlin Clark in Iowa. How do you feel the day before the game here, Phil?
Upset galore. Those young ladies over there with the Colorado Buffaloes, they're going to have a little butterflies, a little excitement, a little nerves. Caitlin Clark is a superstar. But at some point, if you want to be considered a superstar, you got to beat a superstar. And that's what these girls have to do. They have to go out there, compete, find a way to win this game.
I cannot wait for this game. It'll be right smack dab in the middle of tomorrow afternoon, 1:30 on ABC. I said to you on Tuesday, I think this is Caitlin Clark's last college basketball game.
I love it. As long as the referees stay out of it. This is a game where the referees need to back off and let these ladies play. Because there's too many times where you have a heavyweight matchup and it's ultimately is decided by a referee.
Yeah.
We're not here to see you.
Well, I would caution. Prepare yourself not that it'll be over the top, but it'll be maybe working around the fringes of the game and where you could break a tie, it may go to them.
How do you think, like, the superstars feel knowing that they can get away with stuff the other players can't? Like, is it something that you feel good about? Like, come on, you know that was a bullcrap call, but you're going to go along with it because you want to win.
You want to know what? They may be so in their own head, they may think that they don't get extra calls. Mm. You know, that everything's just on the up and up, and they're that great that they'll put you in a position to foul them, and that's on you. So, I don't know, but we'll see. I am so looking forward to this game tomorrow afternoon.
One, two, three!
And then how about this, man? UConn men's basketball. We are seeing something right now in the NCAA tournament that is historic. Phil, UConn men's basketball is on such a dominant run. I don't know if we've ever seen this before, and I'm seriously saying this. They won their national championship rematch yesterday against San Diego State by 30.
Yeah.
And it's not just that game. Go back to last year's NCAA tournament and combine it with this year's NCAA tournament. UConn men's basketball has been winning games by an average of 23 points a game over a two-tournament sample size. It's historical.
They're 35-3, Zach. They lost three games.
Crazy. And here's another stat for you. And you know I like to sports gamble responsibly. In last year's tournament combined with this year's tournament, They have covered every single spread. They are 9-0 against the spread, meaning Vegas will try to make it as even as possible. And then when they tip the game off, UConn ends up overachieving to what the experts think. To be 9-0 against the spread, we talked about this with CU football before Deion showed up the year. They're 1-11, but they're 2-10 against the spread, meaning that Vegas couldn't catch up with how bad they were that year. Vegas can't catch up with how good UConn men's basketball is. And they're a juggernaut. They're a juggernaut. And goodness, I think they're going to go win it again. And they're going to go down in history. How much basketball will you watch over the weekend? Because it's such a packed slate of sports this weekend.
I mean, you know I got to watch my girls, the Colorado Buffaloes versus Caitlin Clark and Iowa Hawkeyes. Then you got the Denver Nuggets. And then, of course, I'm going to be switching back and forth to the March Madness, see how my bracket's going. I'm not doing too good, but I still have a chance.
I had Arizona in the national championship, and they got upset last night.
See, I didn't have Arizona in the national, but I had them winning last night, so.
Yeah. You have Houston winning it all, right? No.
I got Houston versus Connecticut.
Oh, okay. Oh, you do? You have UConn. Okay, good for you. Good for you. That could be a winning ticket right there. All right. As we shift gears here, one could easily argue that the biggest game of the Nuggets season is tonight, And there's a name to keep an eye on that not enough people are talking about, but we will, coming up next. I come and I go. Tell me all the ways you need me. I'm not here for long. Catch me or I go. Houdini. I come and I go. Prove you got the right to please me. Everybody. Happy Friday to you. Catch me or I go. Houdini. Approaching the midway point. Almost threw one of my hips out dancing to this.
You're going to need that hit, man, because that guy's coming back to get you. You didn't tell everybody that you went back in and beat the man that beat you.
I am playing a little bit of basketball after a first time not playing in 3 years. And there's nothing better for me. My favorite thing to do is play one-on-one.
Mm.
There's nowhere to hide, man. It's me versus you. You're going to win or I'm going to win. That's it. And, yeah, I found a guy. He's really good. He beat me on Monday. We met back up. I beat him Wednesday. And then tried to play him again today. Didn't work out. We're going to play again Monday.
Okay.
So I'll tell you how it goes. transitioning from one-on-one at the rec center to the number one seed tonight in the Western Conference of the Denver Nuggets.
Man. They're going to have to sign you for a 10-day contract.
You know what? Me and Gillespie, just move me up between me and the Grand Rapids Gold. You can Colin, push me up and down.
I don't understand it. I will never understand it, I guess.
And if you didn't catch the conversation yesterday, we were talking about why Colin Gillespie plays for the Nuggets when he's ineligible to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's a fun conversation, but it's not so fun because I think Michael Malone is playing a guy that he's not going to be able to play in 3 weeks because he feels like it gives him the best chance to win over maybe someone that would be eligible to play in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's not really a healthy dynamic. So, but it's a good conversation though. Big basketball game tonight, Phil.
Very big.
Number one seed hangs in the balance. It's Nuggets. It's Timberwolves. These two teams have been cats and dogs for a long time now, going back to 2018, where they played each other in the final game of the season, where one team was going to go to the playoffs, one team was going to go home. That was the Timberwolves who won. And since, the Nuggets have built up a juggernaut who has won a championship, and here they are. The Timberwolves have kind of not caught up to them, but they have come into their own, and it's like one lion looking at another lion across the way, like, you want to do this? And they're going to do it. They're going to do it tonight.
Like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm excited for this game, Zach. I'm excited because, one, I want to see a bounce back. All right. What we've seen versus the Phoenix Suns, that wasn't the Denver Nuggets. And I know that we're not healthy, right? Aaron Gordon did not look healthy.
He did not.
Okay. Jokic looked tired, looked like he was frustrated at times.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray. I'm nervous about Jamal Murray, Zach. First, it started off with the shin splints. Then it went to the ankle, which he's had a, you know, hell of a time with this ankle.
Yep.
And now we're talking about reports of, like, knee irritation on the same knee that he had ACL surgery on.
Let me supplement what you're saying, too. He missed 15 to 17 games with a hamstring as well.
He did. I forgot about it.
He missed a whole month of basketball.
Oh, it's been rough. It's been a rough year for Jamal Murray. And when he's been present, it's been great. And then you said something earlier where there were games where he played and didn't finish the game.
Right.
Not for a good reason.
Right.
Just because he got banged up or he wasn't able to finish.
Right. Yeah, so he's missed like 19 games, I believe it is, and he's left 3 games early. You're talking about that's a big chunk of the NBA season. He's missed due to injury. And the Denver Nuggets, we waited collectively, the team, the fans, we waited 2 years for this team to get healthy. And in the first year they were healthy, they went and won it all.
Yes.
And it's like they're right next to starting this new marathon here in just a couple weeks, man. We got 9 games left in the NBA season. That's it. And this is about to get so real and so fun. I can feel my, like, it's like the tingles, man. I cannot wait to go down this journey with you.
Oh, I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready for it. I wish we could get courtside seats every night.
Yeah.
That would be so cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. Make friends with the Cronkies. I don't know.
Or even then, they're going to be like, sorry, man, we don't even got front row seats.
Yeah, no. So do you think Jamal plays tonight?
I do. I think that Jamal's going to try to play.
I think so, too. I think we're going to see him. I think he could have played 2 nights ago. And in fact, if tonight was Memphis, I think he would have played 2 nights ago.
Hmm. So if tonight was Memphis.
If tonight was a garbage team, if tonight was San Antonio at home, I feel like Jamal would have played two nights ago. And I feel like tonight played into why he didn't play two nights ago. That, like, let's keep him out for one more game because we know we have a huge contest awaiting us on Friday night. And we'll just err on the side of caution. He went through warm-ups. Nope, you're still not going to play. We have a big boy contest on Friday night with the number one seed hanging in the balance. That's just a theory.
No, for sure. And it's a really good theory. See, I'm on the opposite side, Zach. I know Malone wants that number one seed. He has it right now in his hands, right? We've seen where he put Jokic in with 9 minutes to go in the game. He put him right back in because he wanted to win so bad. There's times where we scratch our heads saying, why would you put somebody like KCP on the court when he's not healthy? So I'm not so sure that the plan was to let Jamal rest. I truly think that something is a little bit more up and going on with his injuries than meets the eye. And it's okay. I think he's going to be fine. I just think there's some irritation. I think the ankle. I just think he's banged up.
Yeah.
And I think for them, it's like, we got to get you healthy. And you're not healthy right now. And I'm going to be really nervous if he doesn't play tonight.
Yeah, if he doesn't play tonight, I mean, my antennas are going to be up. My nerves are going to be real because this team is not winning anything without Jamal Murray. This team is not going to the Western Conference Finals without Jamal Murray. I don't know if this team's winning two playoff series without Jamal. So we'll see what it looks like tonight. But this is what I'm expecting. I'm expecting everyone to play, and I am expecting the Denver Nuggets to be the best version of themselves in playoff intensity, playoff focus. I'm expecting to see the best version of themselves defensively against another team that is the best defense in the entire NBA, holding other teams to just 106 points per game. Think about how crazy that is, considering how the first 50 games were officiated with the record scoring that we saw. That number takes all of that into account, and they're still holding opponents to 106 points per game. Pack a lunch. Tonight is going to be a fist fight. It's going to be a fist fight.
So my question to you is, other than Colin Gillespie, does he play tonight? Is DeAndre Jordan, are we going to see him out there? I know it's some of them like, why are we talking about him? But I truly believe that he should have played versus the Suns. I think that he would have helped out a little bit more versus the Suns because we were missing Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon was banged up a little bit and he couldn't handle it all day by himself. Do we see someone like DeAndre Jordan in the mix-up, especially with there being a guy that a lot of people are not talking about on the other side?
Yeah, and well, so get to that in just a second. Do I think we're going to see DeAndre Jordan tonight? No. That would be my guess. The guy that not enough people are talking about, I believe, is the reason why the Timberwolves have not had a drop-off after the Karl Anthony Towns injury. Because since that happened, this dude, Naz Reid, I know he's not going to be a discussion point on First Take or Undisputed, but I'm here to tell you, he has stepped off the bench and into the starting lineup is averaging, since Cat went down, he's averaging over 18 points a game on 50% shooting, 40% from three, pulling down over 7 rebounds a game. And 10 days ago when these two teams played and Denver won by 3, he did not play in that game.
Yeah.
Last year in the playoffs, when Denver won in 5, but every game was a bit of a struggle, Naz Reid did not play in the playoffs either. So this is like a newish wrinkle to this dynamic between these two teams. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, I know it's not going to lead SportsCenter, but it is a real, real factor tonight.
Well, buckle up then, because it's going to be a big boy game.
Yeah. He's, by the way, 6'9 and a plus defender too. And like I said, shoots it really well from three. I mean, he's had games where he hits 5-6 threes this month at 6'9 and a really good defender. They're all really good defenders. I mean, and think about this, man. And we talked about this 10 days ago. The president of their entire basketball operation built the Denver Nuggets in Tim Connelly.
Yes, yes. You're seeing it. You look, they're identical. I think a little bit more long.
Yes.
Do you think that they're more athletic? in the grand thing, you know, grand scheme of things, Anthony Edwards, I mean, man.
I was going to say, he can tip the scales.
Man.
He is the most explosive player that I think the NBA has seen since a young Russell Westbrook.
Hands down.
I mean, he goes 0 to 100 any which direction he wants to. He is a dude. He is a bona fide dude. So, I cannot wait for this. Hey, MPJ, need the best version of him tonight.
MPJ has to step up tonight.
Scored 26 in that win 10 days ago where they just won by 3. He's going to need to be the best version of himself. So cannot wait for that game later this evening. All right, on a scale of 1 to Rockies, how embarrassing was last night? That's where we'll go coming up next.